Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show-jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started.
I'm fortunate to get to enjoy lots of great conversations with interesting people throughout the industry. Whether that's meeting people at shows and events, recording episodes for the Big Talk for Breeders podcast, or hosting live events at places such as Wellington and the Dublin Horse Show. Particularly when those conversations are being recorded, I always like to end each interview with a similar question so that the listeners can go away with a nugget of wisdom in terms of the advice that that guest or speaker would offer, whether that's a breeder to a breeder, a rider to young riders, a vet, or various different industry stakeholders. I'm also conscious that not everyone gets the time or the opportunity to listen to every episode that's put out on the Big Talk for Breeders series. So as we've come to the end of 2025, I thought it could be nice to do a compilation episode and to give you the advice of all the people that I've had the pleasure of interviewing in 2025. The first episode of 2025 was with Germany's Hanno and Marina Kunke. That was followed up by the Wellington Breeders Panel, which took place at Wellington International in March. The guest speakers for that event were American veterinarian Dr. Aaron Sellers-Newkirk, Irish international show jumper Andrew Burns, Brazil's 8-time Olympian Rodrigo Pessoa. The next episode in the series was with Shane Breen and Greg Laguerre in April, followed by Belgian breeder Catherine Hulsbosch in May, Werner Dirks of Stall Tetoxandria in June. The next episode released in the series was the recording of the RDS Breeders Talk, which took place at the Dublin Horse Show in August. My guest speakers for this year's event were Irish veterinarian Dr. Marcus Swale, Dutch breeder Floris van Luken, and Dutch international show jumper Willem Greve. And then finally, the most recent episode of Big Talk for Breeders was with Australian breeder Alice Cameron of Oaks Sport Horses. So I've taken the responses of each of those individuals at the end of my conversations with them and put it together in this compilation episode. The one episode published this year that I haven't mentioned so far is when Sweden's Clara Norling interviewed me for her YouTube channel, and the audio recording of that was put out as an episode of Big Talk for Breeders. If any of you would like to hear that, I haven't included it in this episode, but you can check out episode number 41, which will give you an overview of my own story and my own experience in the industry so far, as well as pieces of advice for fellow breeders and younger riders. I hope you enjoy the final episode of Big Talk for Breeders for 2025. Happy New Year and wishing you a successful 2026. First up, we have Hanno and Marina Kunke. What advice would you offer to a young person or to someone at the start of their breeding program? How would you advise a young breeder starting off now?
The young breeders, they have to be interested in the sport and have to find out what a good sport horse is and what the qualities of a sport horse in generally is. And then they have to ask people what is the best, what are the best mares family in our breeding and in our area and maybe all over Europe. You know, it's normal that they buy female offspring of the Twelly Chin family. You find them everywhere nowadays. But people have to, young breeders have to watch the sport and speak to riders and what they think is important for a horse, for a young horse, and also for a top competition horse. Yes, that would be my advice.
Marina, anything to add to that?
Well, in the Holstein horses, I think before I wasn't in I rode all horses, and now I ride just what we breed. And I think to be proud of your own horses is also, and believe in them, it's nothing to do with choosing the stallion in that moment. But I think this is also very important to see.
Yeah, that's right.
Believe in them, the horses that you breed, and
To give them every chance you can do.
Yeah.
That is what she's doing. The horses have every chance to develop and to produce. You know, I'm sometimes really quick in my decisions and, oh, it's not a good horse and we have to get rid of him. And Marina said, oh, no, let's wait and give him a chance. And that's our normal discussion.
Yeah, but it is, it's amazing what time can do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here is Dr. Aaron Sellers, Newkirk of Wellgrove Equine in the USA.
What advice can you give to the room or to breeders and how they can kind of give themselves the best chance for the year ahead? But then I'd also like to give your career advice for the aspiring vet or maybe a recently graduated vet that's going to pursue a similar career.
So for breeders, potential clients, anybody that wants to do this, plan ahead. Get your foot in the door, start the conversation going. The hardest time is when April 1st comes around and everybody's like, I'm leaving town at the end of the month. I need you to make me a baby. That's a very uphill climb. I've done it more times than I probably should. And I've had even shortest time weeks as 2 weeks to try and get something done. But it's much easier if you plan ahead or at least plant the seed that that's the plan. So that's that part. For veterinarians and career, if you're interested in being a vet, if you're in vet school, just there's not that many of us still in equine vet world. There's definitely a lot more small animal, but it's a bit of a, we wish there were more. We really do, because that's also what helps our lifestyle. That's one of the greatest things that why vets don't tend to pursue equine is there's a lifestyle challenge with it. And God forbid if you want to have a family. Huge shout out to my husband for making this work. But it can be done and you can get creative and you can find ways to make it work. And if you're just passionate about doing what you want to do, it'll come along.
Now we have Ireland's Andrew Burns.
Whether you're actively breeding yourself or not, it doesn't matter. You still have a perspective and yourself and your dad are still regularly in touch with a lot of breeders. So if you have a perspective in terms of how you would advise breeders, I'd love to hear that. And then similarly, I'd love to hear your advice for the young riders coming through behind you.
Well, I'll start with the breeders. I really believe that in our industry and in our sport, breeders play a pivotal part. And you mentioned it earlier, some of the smaller breeders, they tend to undersell themselves. And I think it's a huge mistake. I think from your one or two mare breeding farm all the way up to your 2,000 mare breeding farm, all the breeders are very important. I think what they should strive to do is breed the best horse possible. Don't be breeding horses just for the sake of breeding horses. I mean, select the best mares you can find. And if you get the opportunity, if you're open to opportunities out there from people like me and a lot of other big operations, some of these mares can get injured. Some of these mares, their careers are over show jumping a lot of times earlier than they should be. And for us, there can be really good value found in actually buying some of those mares because they're not worth much to us to compete anymore. And there's a huge value in them to start breeding from because they generally have fantastic bloodlines. And realistically, starting with good dam lines is the best way to get into breeding. And I don't want to say it's easier than you might think, but I really do believe that if you're open to the possibility and you really do your groundwork and you really make connections and you really talk to people, it is more achievable than a lot of people think to find those nice mares and then look after the nice mares. I find that the mares are the pivotal part. We tend to talk about stallions in show jumping breeding mostly because they're easier to categorize. So for every one good breeding stallion, there's could be 500 or 200 good breeding mares. We're not going to talk about all of those. But it's easy to talk about the Canaans and the Choco Blues of the world because there's not many of them and it's very easy to categorize them. And I think from that, a lot of people maybe get misinformed or get the wrong idea that they're the pivotal or the most important part. And you might agree, in the end, I believe the mare starting off with a good, solid mare dam line is the most important part when you're breeding. And it is more achievable than maybe some people think to find those nice mares, to acquire those nice mares. And then you find the best stallion possible. You work with people like Lisa and her team, and they will find you very, very good stallions. And you could someday, for less money than it might seem on the outset, breed a world champion. It could happen. But I don't think you should sell yourself short. I think you should aim for the top. You should look for the best mares you can find, and then try and find the best and most suitable stallions you can find. And don't be afraid to ask people like me or Rodrigo or McLean, you know, what sire do you like? I have a mare. She's by this. Who do you think I should cross her with? Ask around. People are a lot more keen and excited to talk about it than you might initially think. So I think that's my main advice to breeders. It is achievable. It is possible. Aim for the best and really try hard, and you can do it. And then for young riders who want to achieve a high level, I could say something cliche like work hard and stick to it and get gritty and all that. And too many other people say that. I think you need to remember why you're doing it. We do it because we love the horses. We do it because we love what we're doing. And in the end of the day, you have to love the process more than the destination, because a lot of times you're going to have one rail down, your horse is going to stop, you're going to miss a class because the horse is not sound enough. You're going to have a lot more hard days in this sport than good days. So you need to learn to love the process. You've got to learn to love working on the basics with that horse. You've got to learn to love being around the horse every day. Enjoy what you're doing with the horse and enjoy the little progression every single day. If you get 1% better every day with your horse, after 100 days, you'll be twice as good. And if you remember that, I think this sport is a lot more achievable and it's a lot easier to handle the hard days because there's a lot of them. And just remember why you're doing it. And we're doing it because we love horses and we love what we're doing. And enjoy the journey more than anything else.
Next up, we have Brazil's Rodrigo Pessoa.
What advice would you offer to the young riders who are trying to make this their life and career?
I mean, the world has changed dramatically from when I was learning the ropes of this business, of this industry. It has changed, the world has changed so much. And I learned a lot by obviously listening to the people that were teaching me, but I also learned a lot by watching. My dad always said, watch. Watch what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. You watch and try to identify what they're doing right and doing wrong, and you learn a lot by watching. And I feel that today, the youth of today doesn't watch. They don't care. They're on their phones. That's all they're doing. They're not watching at the warm-up Scott Brash pick any rider that you want, you know, how they're warming up their horses, sitting through a class and watching the whole class, you know. And today I watched the WEF, for example. I watched 50 horses go. And I think that's important, and that's the advice that I would give to any young rider, exactly the same as what Andrew said. It's cliche, you know, work hard, have a goal, go for the goal, you know, focus and everything. All of that is, yes, of course, you have to do all of that and more. But the more would be like watch more, be more interested in, you know, what your horse eats, what your horse, when the vet comes, when the blacksmith comes, you know, all of these things that the youth of today has absolutely no idea what is going on. All they do is they come to the ring, they get on the horse, they listen to their teacher. Sometimes they do their round, they get off, and then they're off and about. That will not get them here on Saturday or to a championship or anything like that. So I think that's my advice, is would be to pay more attention and be more interested in everything that goes on in the stable, because it's all these little pieces that make that you have sometimes, some days, the success. And it's not just coming. Today it's not enough to ride well anymore. You have to, you know, do a lot of other things, other facets of the sport that are really, because if you're not doing it, someone is. One of your competitors is there doing one more hour, an extra hour, interested in what the vet is doing, why, how we get this horse better, how do we get him more comfort in his shoes, how do we change his bridle. You know, you can go on and on with all the things that you can do to make it work. And that's what I see in the kids of today that are really not interested. Of course, there's always the exception to the rule. It's not all of them. You always see one or the other that are there. But in general, it's not great.
Here's Ireland's Shane Breen and his breeding manager, Greg Laguerre.
Typically, when it's just purely a breeding conversation, I usually finish by asking people what advice would they offer to a young breeder, to someone starting off in their breeding career. In this instance, you're both involved in the breeding space and the sport. So I'd like, and you've touched on probably a few of the things that you would advise, the advice you'd give to a breeder. But I'd also like you to have a think about the advice that you give to a young rider that maybe wants to try and have a similar career or, you know, make it an international success. So while you're thinking about that, I'm going to go to Greg for advice for a young breeder or someone starting off in their breeding career. And it'll buy Shane a minute.
Someone starting off, I'd always start small and grow it rather than going in too big and too strong. So, like Shane says, the more information you can gather, the higher a chance will be for if it's you want to sell it or you're breeding it for you to ride yourself. They're different things. Have a good look at the families and be honest about your mare and what she could bring to the table, and then try and complement that as much as possible.
And I just think linked to that, because sometimes people want to be honest, but maybe they're doing it in a very part-time amateur way or have limited experience. And sometimes it's that maybe they don't know, or like they literally don't know enough. But I think even you've alluded to it a few times earlier in the conversation that people like yourselves are very open to helping people with that or giving people advice. That, I suppose, just to build on that, that it's that if you don't know, reach out to someone who...
Yeah, ask.
Who does.
Ask. Call. Message. We do it all the time. We get it all summer long. People ringing about what stallion will complement their mare, and we'll have a look at their pedigree and ask them what it is they want to breed. Does it need to be more uphill? Does it need to be more rideable? The good qualities that our stallions can bring, no, that stallion wouldn't suit that mare. Try this one. You need more scope, you need more engine. Use Golden Hawk, use Quick Start at Carbeck. Just ring, ask and reach out.
And Shane, if firstly, anything that we haven't already touched on in terms of advice to the younger breeder or to any breeder who's listening before we go on to your advice for a
rider? I think as Greg said, it's about getting information and picking up the phone and ring breeders that you admire. But, you know, I think you have to be, you know, some people think their own geese are swans, but actually see that you do have the correct mare, or that you are making the correct crosses for that mare when you go back and look at her paper. Those couple of little things will help you an awful lot.
And then there are a bunch of young riders that I know listening to these interviews that also have an interest in breeding. To those young riders or whatever age, how would you best advise them so that they can give themselves the best chance to have a successful career in the sport?
I think open your eyes and your ears, first of all. And, you know, everyone says be hardworking. I think if you have ambition, you're going to have work ethic. But you do have to get out and see the world. You know, what we said earlier about a jigsaw, you can try and emulate someone, but you're not ever going to be that person. You are your own self. So gather as much information, see as much as you can possibly see. Don't be cocky, be willing to learn, and then you will form the jigsaw you need to put together for yourself. All you need then is just have manners and get some nice owners and look after them. And then good horses will come along the way.
Now you'll hear from Catherine Hulsbosch. For my final question, I think you've already touched on maybe some of the answers in the part about the challenges or concerns with the younger breeders. But I always like to finish each interview with, what advice would you offer to young breeders or to someone starting off in their breeding program? Because I'm conscious that sometimes people maybe don't identify as a younger breeder. They might be getting into the breeding side of things maybe later life. So, but for somebody starting off in breeding, what are the pieces of advice that you would offer to them?
I think one of the important things is not to be shy to ask advice or directions or give an insight. And it doesn't mean that you have to agree with everybody, but you can listen to a lot of people and to ask things. And if you have an other opinion, it's fine, but you also can listen to it and take things in consideration and then see if it works for you or not. And not when one thing bad happens that you need to quit or be depressed and you have to quit everything. It goes in waves. Sometimes it's up, sometimes yeah. It's down, but you really have to keep going. And not if there's one failure that you have to be depressed that you stop. That so you really need to keep going. And if it doesn't work with one mare line, a dam line, then change and then go with another one. So it's really determination that will give you at the end a good feeling, I think.
Here is Werner Dirks. What advice would you offer to a young breeder or to someone at the start of their breeding program?
My advice, the thing is, listen to everybody, but do your own thing. And don't be blind to your own mare or mares. Like I said, I don't believe either a lot of mares doing the biggest shows in the world, but at the end, there are not so many good breeding mares. So follow your own thing and start with a good mare, with the quality inside her. And yeah, when you feel really bloody, the eyes and the expression, and when you see them in the field running, and yeah, it's really stupid when sometimes I see a year jumping 1 year out of the field and I think, wow, what a shit horse. But he jumped, it was the same with Tabasco, huh? As he was jumping out of the field, oh, fucking hell, shit horse. But how he jumped, it was amazing. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There must be something special and, yeah, it must be a feeling, yeah, advice, yeah. There are a lot of breeders, but, yeah, follow your own thing and must be lucky also, I think. You must be lucky. I bought Kadin because she was really cheap and, yeah, I was also lucky. In life, you must be lucky, I always said, but I think your own luck, you also can do that by yourself. When you stay up every day, you say, yeah, I'm feeling bad. Yeah, then your life is going to be also like that. I also sometimes have bad luck, but then next day, okay. Yeah, yesterday was, and it's the same with my horses. Yesterday it was bad, but yeah, today I ride, hey, do something good. Okay, I'm happy. And I think with breeding is a little bit the same. Feeling good and feeling happy in life, being like that. Yes. Being yourself, not to be what another person is. Be yourself. But that's not easy. Huh? But I can say be yourself. And also with the horses, do your own thing. Yes. I can say, yeah, a breeding mare has to be like that and like that. But I can show you a picture of Kadin and yeah. And then you think, oh my God. The same with the mother of Tabasco. Right? When you see her, yeah, you think, is that the mother of Tabasco? She's so ugly, so fat. Oh, the leg, the back is like that, the legs like that. Yeah, follow your own thing.
This is Irish veterinarian Dr. Marcus Swale.
What piece of advice would you give to younger vets that are coming through in the veterinary world?
I mean, I think it's a really great job, but I think that you have to almost look at it as it's quite vocational. So I think if you're wanting to get up in the morning, go into work, do your day's work, collect your money and go home at 5 o'clock, do something else. But if it's something that engages you and there are a lot of sacrifices in it, but if it's something that engages you and you're willing to work hard at it, it's a very rewarding job. But you have to, like, everybody that I know that's good at it and that sticks at it are all durable, mentally tough personalities. So it's a great job, but you need to be ready for it. And you need to keep turning up.
Now for Dutch breeder Floris van Luken.
When I started the podcast years and years ago, Floris was one of my earlier guests. I'll be curious to know if that advice is still the same all those years later. So what piece of advice would you offer to younger breeders?
That's the question. I knew, I didn't think about so much. It's a little bit the same. And at that time, I said also for young breeders, it's a pity because there are not so many young breeders anymore. Not in an island, I don't know, but in Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, it's getting more difficult. Young breeders, not so interested. But it's a little bit the same. Visit, talk to older breeders, visit them. Don't make your decisions only on stallion shows, but follow the sport. Because on stallion shows, it's also difficult for 3-year-olds with free jumping. If you not can be sure what you see. But get your advices from the older people. That's a little bit my and follow the sport, because I think that that's. Yeah, the stallions that are on television, they will get their mares. But there are, for me also, the 7, 6, 7, 8-year-old horses. You can follow them for three, 4 years. You know more about them, and then give them a chance also. But do your homework.
Here is Dutch international show jumper Willem Greve.
You've given a little bit of advice on how the breeders should be thinking and approaching the next few years. Well, what advice would you have for any younger riders that are in the room or going to be listening to the recording of this that would like to achieve a similar level of success in the future?
Stay hungry. Always go. And we lose more than we win in this profession. And it's not always easy, don't get me wrong, because sometimes you also think, oh, but okay, now I'm having a good show, maybe tomorrow it's different, but always stay hungry. The doctor said it right. He said, be present or be there or something. Always keep going, keep pushing. And then and try to find, and that's very important, try to surround yourself with good people. And there are a lot of good people, but treat the people how you would like to be treated yourself. Be correct, be honest, and then I think everything is possible in this world.
And here we have Australian breeder Alice Cameron. What advice would you offer to a young breeder or to someone at the start of their breeding career?
That's a really hard one. I think be true to your own principles and breed your horses for the right reasons. I don't think breeding is something that you would go into to make money. I don't think you should look at it as being a commercial enterprise first and foremost. There are ways you can do that. There are models that you can do that with. You can breed and just sell your foals. But for me, be true to what you want to breed and breed the best animal that you possibly can. Something that's trainable, and bring it up as well as you can as well. Make sure that its nutrition is good, its feet are kept on top of, that it's ready to be handled, and it's interested in human beings, so that it's ready to make a partnership with a person.
As I mentioned earlier, the one episode of Big Talk for Breeders that I haven't included in this is the audio recording of the interview that Sweden's Clara Norling did with me earlier in the year. There wasn't just one section that I felt was appropriate to include in this compilation series. So what I would recommend is, if you haven't heard that conversation, to check out episode number 41 of Big Talk for Breeders, where we discuss how I got involved in the industry, my experience and learnings to date, different insights, advice for fellow breeders, young riders, and much more. Again, just to wish you a happy new year and a very successful 2026. And I'm looking forward to recording and sharing lots more great conversations around the world.
If you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes, why not send it to a friend or share it on your social media?